IT Albuquerque. This is M88.
Watching on my board, dreaming about riffing on the North Shore. Me and my buds, we're drinking lots of beer.
Life stinks!
So I'll party while I'm here. Some guys start telling me that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I burped in his face, and I hit him with my board. I wake up surfing, hit a rock against my head. Now everything looks weird. Hey, I must be dead. Bummer, dude. Was cruising up into the clouds, trying to figure out what was gonna happen now. Cruising upward, hanging tightly to my board, till suddenly I stopped face to face with the Lord. He said, I loved you so much that I died for you. But when I sent someone to tell you, all you were was rude. I said, Vegas, dude, can we renegotiate? He said, sorry, pal, but you sealed your own fate. I got sent to the dude with long horns and a tail. Wow, most choked from the sulfurous smell. I said, dude, where's the chicks? Where's the meat? She said, sorry, pal, you should have listened when they preach. No waves to rip, no 6-foot swell. Sorry, bud, no surfing in hell. Next thing you know, my board burst out in flames. Said later to my wax job, I was feeling pretty lame. Then things started getting really hot. I said, if this is your idea of a party, I think I'd rather not. He just laughed and said, what, regret it? You're here for eternity and don't you forget it. Just then the fire hit me and all my hair fried. I felt all the pain, but it never really died. I cried and screamed to fight off the pain, but to my misfortune, it was all in vain. I got on my knees and begged to get out, he said, a little late for that, pal, so don't pout. No waves to rip, no 6-foot swell. Sorry, bud, no surfing in hell. Bible churches, I started to look. Here's the deal, dude, and I'll make it rather quick. That's a lot more important than a wave or a chick. So as you're going through life and you think it's all swell, just you remember my little tale. No waves to rip, no 6-foot swell. Sorry, bud, no surfing in hell.
Here on M88, I am your host, Yo, and tonight that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. Not surfing in hell, but just hell in general, and that's going to be our topic for this evening. I figured since it's October, and for whatever reason, people think that hell is kind of funny and scary this time of year, and then I was reading about some pastor saying that hell's not really real, don't need to worry about it, and there's all these misconceptions about hell. It seemed like this would be a good time to discuss that in detail. Unfortunately, the person I was going to have join me to talk about this in detail got called away at the last minute, so just keep my guest in prayer. It doesn't matter who it was. Just, you know, say, hey, Lord, Yo's guest for Raw Talk, help them out. They're having a family emergency. So keep them in prayer. And so that just leaves me and you tonight to talk about hell. And that's what we're going to do as we examine this topic in detail and examine the reality of hell and the implications it has for our lives. So if you'd like to join the conversation tonight, 505-338-5790. Is hell real? Is it not real? What should we do about it? Why do we avoid this particular topic? Why are Christians afraid of it? Why are other people not afraid of it? If you have something you'd like to add to the conversation this evening as we talk about hell here on Raw Talk, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Now, I don't claim to be a great Bible scholar like my friend Scott Richards, who can quote just about anything from the top of his head, but I do know just enough about hell to cover this topic. And so if you got some of those really tough questions and I don't know the answer, I'll tell you that. You know what? I don't know the answer to that. We'll have to look that up together, and I'll get back to you on that. So if I don't know an answer to your question tonight, I'll find one for you, and I'll send you an email on that. So how's that for a deal? 505-338-5790. Is hell real, or is it imaginary? What do you think? 505-338-5790 as we discuss hell this evening here on Raw Talk. Now, my producer, Steve Madrid, has been gracious enough to kind of fill in some of the awkward silences that might come up this evening. So what do you think, Steve Madrid? Hell, real or not real?
Well, when you first told me the topic of the show, I looked at you and I was like, wait, we're going to talk about what? Yeah. Oh, no. So I was kind of like one of those people that was like, this is kind of scary, man. I don't know if I'm going to be there for this show. Maybe we should find another producer. But well, I think we're just scared to talk about it, man. It's scary.
Why are we afraid to talk about it, Madrid? I mean, why?
The gnashing of teeth, man. That's pretty scary, dude.
That's true. The Bible does talk about the gnashing of teeth. And, you know, also it's a topic that doesn't come up a lot of times in sermons either. And so I figured tonight would be a good night to talk about it as we discuss hell. 505-338-5790. And like Steve Madrid pointed out, it is a topic that a lot of people don't seem to like to discuss. A lot of people would prefer just to skate over this topic and avoid it, even Christians. As a matter of fact, I was doing a little bit of research. Well, I always say that, and I feel bad, Sorrel, because Sorrel does all my research for me, and she does a great job. And then I say, hey, I was doing all this research. Like, I actually know what I'm doing. But she does all the work for me, and she found some interesting numbers. One of them was that 18% of Christians don't believe in hell. 18% of Christians, born-again Christians, don't believe in hell. Of course, there's a lot of different beliefs about hell. Some people believe it's a place of torment. Some people believe it's just kind of like a place where you wait until things get worked out. Other people believe that's just something that's used to scare children. There's a lot of different beliefs about hell, and we'll try and examine some of those this evening as we get into this topic here tonight on Raw Talk. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to join in the conversation like Jesse has. Jesse, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you got to say?
I was actually going to read something out of a book really quick. It won't take but 2 minutes.
Okay,
here,
go for it.
Here it goes. The teaching of the church affirms the existence of hell and its eternity. Immediately after death, the souls of those who die in the state of mortal sin descend into hell, where they suffer the punishment of hell, eternal fire. The chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God, in whom alone man can possess the life and happiness for which he was created and for which he longs for. And I'm reading this out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome, you know, because like you were saying, a lot of people nowadays, especially in the Christian faith, I believe it's 20% that believe in hell. And hell is wrote throughout the Bible from the beginning all the way to the end. And hell is separate from God and his love. Amen?
Now, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. But why do you think this is a topic that we'd rather not discuss?
I believe nowadays, especially in our culture, the culture of death, as the late John Paul II stated, people want to live in the comfort zone, and they don't want to talk about punishment. They think life is long and we're going to live forever, but it's not like that. We have the choice, and we are responsible for that choice, of making that choice right now at this time, not tomorrow, not in 3 hours, not in 4 hours, because maybe in 4 hours we die.
Yeah.
And like the Catechism says, if we die in mortal sin, we go directly to hell. Where is separation from God and flames. Hell is a reality, my brothers.
Yes, hell is a reality. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us and bringing that up tonight on Raw Talk for kind of getting things started. I appreciate it, all right?
Amen, brother.
All right.
Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks a lot. Jesse
God
calling in to Raw Talk. And if you got a little something that you'd like to add to tonight's conversation, is hell real? Is it something we should be worried about? Is it something that we should talk about? 505-338-5790 if you have something that you'd like to add to tonight's conversation about hell. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but Jonathan Edwards, a while back, 1741 to be precise, delivered a very famous sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, this was a sermon that was basically about God's judgment, about God's wrath. And after he delivered it, there were reports of people being so terrified that they were turning to Christ in droves because his description of hell was so vivid and so unheard of at that time that people were fearing for their very lives. Now, I'm not going to read you his entire sermon, but one of the things that came out of that sermon that I thought was kind of interesting, Jonathan Edwards said, and I quote, "But the foolish children of men miserably delude themselves into their own schemes, and in their confidence in their own strength and wisdom, they trust to nothing but a shadow. The greater part of those who heretofore have lived under the same means of grace and are now dead are undoubtedly gone to hell. And it was not because they were not as wise as those who are now alive. It was not because they did not lay out matters as well for themselves to secure their own escape. If we could speak with them and inquire of them one by one, whether they expected when alive and when they used to hear about hell ever to be the subject of misery, we doubtless should hear one and another reply, 'No, I never intended to come here. I had laid out matters otherwise in my mind. I thought I should contrive well for myself. I thought my scheme good. I intend to take effectual care, but it came upon me unexpected. I did not look for it at that time, and in that manner it came as a thief. Death outwitted me.'" And that seems to be the state of a lot of people's minds today. There's a poll done not too long ago where people were polled on whether or not they thought they were going to go to hell and who they thought were going to go to hell. And it was kind of amusing because roughly 75% of people said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Absolutely. Other people are going to hell." You know, the prevailing belief so far as what hell is and who it's for is other people. And in fact, only 2% of people polled said, "Yeah, actually, I might end up in hell." And I thought that was kind of interesting that so many people believe that. But of course, when it comes to something bad, what else would we expect people to believe except that it's for someone else? 505-338-5790. If you would like to join us here on Raw Talk and help us talk about this thing called hell. Now, if you look through the Bible, there's a lot of different words, and as I go through these, if you'd like to chime in your two cents, please feel free to do so at 505-338-5790. Some people say that hell isn't referred to in the Old Testament, and I suppose you could say they're right in that it's not H-E double hockey sticks anywhere in the Old Testament, but there are references to Sheol, the place of the dead, the grave, death, things of that nature, and also in Isaiah, there's even a place where it talks about fire and eternal torment. You look in the New Testament, you have words such as Hades. You have Gehenna, which was actually apparently something that referred to this valley that is there on the east side of Jerusalem. And at one time, there was a worship of an ancient god named Molech, who had infant sacrifices made to him. And then later on, it was a place where garbage, dead bodies of animals, and even criminals were constantly burned. And so that place, a literal place near Jerusalem, actually became a place that represented hell in a very vivid illustration. And Gehenna was often a word that referred to that, a place in which there's suffering and fire. And you also have the word Tartu, something like that, which is only found in 2 Peter. So lots of different words used throughout the Bible to describe a place of eternal torment. But the point is that from beginning to end, this concept of hell, a place that is separated from God, is consistent. We have Stan on the line. Stan, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say? Hello, yeah, Stan. Hey. Go ahead.
How's it going?
That's going well.
Good. Hey, my comment on the hell thing is, yes, hell does exist. It's so clear in Scripture. But I think functionally a lot of American Christians may state that they believe in hell, but you don't see that in a desire to then reach the lost. I mean, I have friends who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and because of that, they're going to face an eternity in hell. Mm-hmm. And that drives me to try to find ways to let them know about the gospel message. And, you know, the very fact that so many Christians are willing to not share the gospel with people to bring that conversation up is an indication that they really don't believe it. I mean, I think they may say it with their mouth, but then that would motivate them to share the gospel.
Well, is it a case of they don't really believe it, or maybe they think that just to tell someone about hell and make them scared of hell isn't the best way to get someone saved? I've often heard people say fear is a real poor reason to come to salvation.
But hell isn't a reason to. When I share the gospel, I'm sharing the love of Jesus, and the conversation of hell rarely comes up. I mean, when I've led people to Christ, very rarely do I use hell, but because I believe there's a hell, that motivates me to share the love of Christ with my loved ones. I mean, the gospel message is a message of love. The reality of hell, I don't think, should be used as a motivation to get somebody into heaven. The love of Christ is what should draw people into heaven. But as believers, the reality of hell should then drive us that I need to share with my loved ones the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a very good point, Stan, and thanks for bringing that up. I think you're absolutely right. That hell is a fate that we shouldn't wish on anybody.
I have to
admit there's a few people that the thought crossed my mind, but when you really think about the reality of hell, I had to go back and say, you know, that's not very nice. God's really the only person who can judge along those lines. Well, Stan?
And I just think as believers, we should start functionally believing that and sharing the love of God even that much more with everybody we come in contact with. So.
Well, that is some good advice, Dan. Thanks so much for calling in, and I hope you have a great evening. Thanks for bringing that
you
up.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
505-338-5790. If you have a question or comment that you'd like to share about this topic of hell, as we talk about the reality of hell and the implications it has for our lives. What do you think? Is hell real? Is it something that we should really be concerned about? Is it something that we should discuss in detail? Is it something that we should tell others about? Maybe, you know, scare the hell out of them as we share the gospel with them. What do you think? 505-338-5790 if you'd like to offer some comments on this topic of hell. I have a special guest on the line, someone who's going to help keep me in line as we go throughout tonight's program, Chip Lusko, general manager of M88, joining us, also a pastor at Calvary of Albuquerque. How are you doing this evening, Chip?
Excellent, yo. Thanks for talking to me.
Well, thank you for jumping in and joining in on the conversation. Hey, let me ask you, I don't know if you were up to date with some of the stuff that happened recently with this pastor talking about this new gospel of inclusion and the fact that hell is really just a state of being here on earth. And after that, when we die, everybody's redeemed because the blood of Jesus redeemed everybody. Have you heard about that and some of those developments from this preacher that was talking about that?
Yes, I have picked up on that, and it's not a new idea. It is, in a way, it's understandable, but it is wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We wish we could eliminate hell, and it would be a fairy tale that everyone would live happily ever after, but that's just not what the Bible says, you know, and I wouldn't certainly write it this way on my own, and few of us would, and for that reason, it drives people to be in positions that are not biblical. There are the annihilationists who think that those who aren't saved will simply be annihilated and will cease to be after their body functions stop. But once again, you're in conflict with Scripture when you come to that position. But we can't talk about hell in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about it in the full balance of God's Word. And that brings into view heaven. It brings into view the words of Jesus, who said that, perhaps most importantly, that hell was created for Satan and his angels.
Mm-hmm.
And so God did not intend initially for man to go there. Of course, nothing has happened outside of God's view or outside of God's sovereignty. And so when we enter into the discussion of hell, we're in a topic that in some ways we're over our depth. Because we can't understand it. It puts my mind on tilt, and I wish we didn't have to talk about it, but if we're going to study the full counsel of God's balanced word, when we come to it verse by verse, we have to deal with that topic, and there is no avoiding it in Scripture. As one of your callers, and you commented, it is in the fabric of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. From beginning to end, we see it come up. I want to talk about that with you, about this Old Testament, New Testament idea, but I do have a couple other callers on the line. We have Rebecca on the line. Welcome to Raw Talk, Rebecca, and what do you have to say?
I wanted to mention the fact that we as Christians should believe that there is hell.
Mm-hmm.
Most Christians do, or at least I think they should. The question that I think arises when we talk about hell is whether or not Satan actually exists and whether or not his demons actually exist. I do believe that they do, and I think that they have certain powers that they're given over us, just like in Job, with God's permission, not to the extent God says he never tests us more than what we can or that we're never tempted beyond what we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not actually God that's tempting us. It's Satan and his evil forces anyway. And so I think that's more of a Christian defining question, you know, because a lot of people that I know don't even acknowledge that Satan exists. They live their lives never battling him. You know, well, I don't necessarily believe we have to be like condemning Satan or binding Satan or whatever, but I do believe that, like I said, he has certain powers, you know, over the Christian life, not without God's permission, of course. But a lot of people, since we're in a battle, you know, a spiritual battle, we should be praying to God for guidance and help. And I think that's an important tool that all Christians have. And unfortunately, not a lot of us use it.
Well, Rebecca brings up a good point, and it's something that Chip just mentioned about the idea of balance, and it's something that often is very lacking. Lots of people are willing to believe in heaven because it's pleasant, but hell, well, that's more of a question. Lots of people are willing to believe in God, in some form of God, because, you know, that sounds very nice, but some evil mastermind running around with a pitchfork and, you know, goat hooves and pointy tail, well, you know, that's just something that comes about on Halloween. But really, the issue comes down to, like you pointed out, Chip, that if you're going to believe in one, then the reality of the other should be a foregone conclusion.
Right. We don't want to concentrate on hell. The Bible says the love of God draws people to repentance. Yet we also are cautioned that it's only by the fire that some are drawn out of that perdition. And so, but our primary message is one of love. Yet the words of Jesus are very clear. He talked a great deal about hell. And so it's not a foggy subject. And you brought up the topic, Yo, of Old Testament, New Testament. Things are not applicable in the New Testament economy. Some issues of the law are not functional in the New Testament. But hell is not one of them. In fact, in the Old Testament, it's more of a shadow, whereas in the New Testament, it's a flaming reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard people say, well, hell is really a New Testament concept that Christians invented, and, you know, for this reason or that reason, and therefore, you know, it's not a concept that can be reliable because you don't see it consistently throughout the whole Bible, which was an argument in my mind that never really worked, because for me that was like saying, okay, so I'm reading a mystery novel, and I get to the end of the mystery novel, and I find out that the butler is the one who did it. But really, that's only reality at the point where I read that he did it. You know, if I were to go with the argument of just because hell shows up in the New Testament, that's the only place that it really exists. You know, in the reality of the mystery story, the butler was guilty all along. It's just that part of the story hadn't been revealed yet until you get to the end. And the same in the Bible, you know, hell is a reality all throughout, but the full revelation of what it was didn't come about until we get to where Jesus shows up on the scene and he starts to give us a more vivid picture of hell. But that doesn't mean it wasn't around beforehand, correct, Chip?
Well, that's correct, and I don't think the butler's guilty, but I think Satan is. And I think that if I were Satan, my most clever ploy would be to convince people that there was no eternal impact on their decision in this life. And he's been relatively successful with that tactic, and so he continues to employ it. And so to even have this debate is really something that's unfortunate we'd have to have at this stage of church history.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is important, Yo, and especially, you know, I'm pretty freaked out by Halloween already. I was in a yogurt store tonight, and they had cobwebs on the cash register, and our culture just goes pretty much berserk in the month of October, and they've made Halloween one of the principal holidays in terms of card sales and costumes and all. And you've got to ask yourself, you know, what is the attraction about having a werewolf, you know, serve you coffee in the morning on October 31st? I really fail to see the whole issue, but there is a spiritual darkness. You have to look at the whole scope of drama of what the Bible portends, and that is that we are in a spiritual warfare. There's an enemy who wants to blind, deceive, and ultimately damn our souls to hell. I mean, that's strong language, but that's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan is the ultimate example of misery-liking company. He cannot win. He could not triumph over Jesus. So the next best thing is to crush that which God loves, and that would be his church.
Well, we see in Revelations 12:12, where it talks about the fact that Satan knows his time is short, so he's out to do as much damage as possible between now and his ultimate end. I always found it fascinating that Satan knows the Bible much better than we do, so he really understands what the end of the story is, hence his reason to deceive as many people as possible and try and destroy as many lives as possible, because he really understands the reality of the final judgment and the second death that is all explained in great detail in Revelation. We have Keith on the line. Keith, welcome to Rock Talk. What do you have to say about this topic of hell?
Well, all I wanted to say is I just can't understand how you can be a Christian and not understand the Word of God. It simply states that, you know, that God is not a liar. Jesus, which is God, he didn't lie. He didn't tell us stuff in the Bible to just, you know, pick what we want to choose from and use it. It's how could you not believe in hell? How could you not understand that? He spent more time on hell and describing hell than anything else in the Bible. It's because he cares for us, and he loves us, and he wants us to believe what he says and get other people to steer away from that. And it's like basic, like learn how to walk. You've got to believe that. And whether people want to hear that or not, it is true. And it just boggles my mind when you told me that, said that percentage. I don't understand that.
Well, yeah, and actually there's a lot of bizarre things so far as Christian beliefs, and we've covered some of them already this month. Now, with what Keith has brought up, Chip, about how in the world could you be a Christian and not believe in hell? The flip side of that argument, and I think I've heard you address this a couple times before, Chip, is how people ask, well, why in the world would a loving God ever send anyone to hell? How loving is that? That doesn't sound like a loving God at all. How do we respond to people who ask that question?
Well, it's very simple. And a larger question, how could a God who is pure and holy and righteous ever tolerate someone like me and you in his presence? that's a bigger mystery to me. Frankly, knowing myself the way I do, I can pretty much understand what I deserve in terms of a spiritual realities go, yo. So, again, you can't look at hell just in a vacuum. I want to applaud your effort to discuss this topic tonight. As long as we're doing that, and I will get in the back way to your question in a moment, but let's just talk about and play some mind theater words with what hell really means. And we kind of have that door in our minds that hell is this awful place, but it's not pleasant to explore what it really means. It does kind of take us to the very edges of human comprehension, but let's just take a minute and comprehend what God says about hell. He says it's a place that is eternal because it's there that the soul does not die. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there is torment. The Bible teaches there are different degrees of punishment in hell, and perhaps that's related to our spiritual responsibility in this life and our lack of faithfulness in responding to the light that we have been given by God. But we do know it represents the absence of anything that is good and pure and holy and enjoyable. And it's hard for us to grasp this kind of eternal reality. We want to think things might be extinguished, but that simply isn't accurate. And so if we're to think about the realities of people that we know and what it might mean for them not to know Jesus Christ, it should motivate us. Now, I don't pretend to have all the answers of human responsibility when it comes to evangelism and how we could ever have the responsibility for a soul, but I do know that we're called to be obedient, yo.
Mm-hmm.
And you started out by talking about the motivation that hell should bring to our life, and of course the larger reality is that we're inviting people not just to avoid hell, but to gain heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very strong attraction to give people the opportunity to have life eternal in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with the question of, well, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? You know, we read in 2 Peter that God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, that it's his will that everyone should be saved. That is not his intent for anyone to end up in hell. And like you pointed out, Jesus even mentioned in the book of Matthew that hell is actually a place that was created for Satan and his fellow fallen angels. It was never intended for people. People were intended for a relationship, a loving relationship with God, which is something that Satan couldn't stand for and decided to mess things up. And he's done a royally good job of doing that so far. We have Mario on the line. Mario, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Hi, I was just, I kind of have a comment and a question.
Yeah, go for it.
I know there's a lot of, like, atheists and even false religions that will show up at your house and they'll even tell you that there isn't a hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a very dangerous doctrine, because then if there's not a hell, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why are they even, going door to door if we're going to have another chance or whatever? And I know that's dangerous, because then it just leaves people open to all kinds of weird stuff. And I also wanted to mention that people need to know, we need to be ready to defend that and let people know the truth about that. Because it is very dangerous to not know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good point, Mario, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And thank you so much for joining our conversation tonight. All right, Mario?
All right.
All right. 505-338-5790 if you got a question or comment. And Chip, if you don't mind me asking you another question, if you don't mind hanging around a little bit longer.
Not at all.
The question that Mario raises, which was one that I wanted to get to as well, what are the implications if we are to eliminate hell from the equation? As we pointed out earlier in the program, some pastors have gone so far to say, well, hell isn't a place of eternal punishment. Some people are experiencing hell on earth right now, but after that, you know, who knows? They're all going to be redeemed and they're going to be God within in heaven. So what are the implications biblically if we expand and look at the bigger picture of grace, salvation, heaven? What happens to all of that if hell is taken out of that equation?
Great question, Yo. And it really stems from the slippery slope of losing a grasp on the inerrancy of Scripture. And once you begin deleting and editing based on human understanding and human wishes, you're in a very dangerous position. And that's what's happening. It's happened with many cults. It's happened with many movements. It's happened with churches. You can find, unfortunately, numerous examples of lukewarm and cold churches who have just lost the fervency of trusting in the inspired Word of God. And even though we can't like everything we find in God's Word, we simply have to trust that God does, in fact, know better. And that's part of his sovereignty, his omniscience, his omnipresence. And so once you delete the doctrine of hell, the question is, well, what's next? Very often, it has a moral implication. You begin to delete God's holy demands upon the life of a child of God, and you have a Christian who really is without motive, without morals, and without goals. And that's what leads to a church that really doesn't have any traction or teeth to its mission.
And also, I have to wonder, if you eliminate this whole concept of hell, eternal punishment, you know, if you were to say something, well, you might suffer for a little while, but then you get out, or, you know, anything that's other than eternal punishment for our sins, as the Bible describes, then that makes me really uneasy, because then I start to wonder, well, then what was the point of Jesus on the cross? If all we have to do is serve time for a little while and then we get off, well, then what was the point of Jesus paying the price for our sins? Or if there isn't any punishment after we die, again, then what was the point of Jesus dying on the cross? And I don't know if I'm off base on that at all, Chip, but it seems to me that the question of hell is very intertwined with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross paying the price for our sins.
Well, it certainly is, and it's a domino. And once you knock that domino over, it has consequences far down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't just remove portions of Scripture, and especially something, a cardinal doctrine. And, you know, we look at things that in the Bible, and you look to the words of Jesus as the final authority in Scripture. It's one of the tests you apply to things to see if it holds up to New Testament realities. And the doctrine of hell passes with, if you will, flying colors, because Jesus was very explicit, he was repetitive, and he wasn't the least bit oblique in how he referred to hell. Mm. It was very clear that it was a definite place, and the origin of it, the intent of it, and the occupants of it were very clear in the words of Jesus Christ.
And that's something that we want to bring to light with this particular Raw Talk. We're talking about hell this evening, and while it is important to keep balance in everything that we discuss, the reason I chose to focus on this is because I've heard of some people who are saying, oh, hell isn't real. Plus, you know, we have the H holiday coming up, Halloween, where people seem to celebrate hell like it's going to be a big party place, no big deal. It's fun to be scared. It's fun. And that, to me, is more frightening than anything that you see in the costume shops around Halloween time, that we would take hell so lightly. Hence the reason that tonight we decided to focus on hell here on Raw Talk, to talk about its reality and the implications it has for our lives. We have Becky on the line. Becky, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, first of all, consider the church where this guy's preaching this message of inclusion. When I saw the piece on Dateline, mm-hmm. they were talking about, he got a phone call because everybody abandoned him. Oral Roberts abandoned him. Everybody left him. And he was alone, about to lose everything, and he gets a phone call from a lady who's a lesbian, and that's what's in her church. Homosexuality, the Bible says, isn't right. And yet all these people of different backgrounds, prisoners, whatever, inmates, ex-cons, whatever you want to call it, but they all come together in one church, and each one of them is living a life that isn't in line with the will of God. And so to listen to a man who's going to be a bishop over this church doesn't make sense to me. Why would Jesus go down and take back the keys of death if it wasn't important?
Well, that's a very good point, and you were the one who actually pointed out that this guy was talking about this stuff, weren't you?
Yes.
Well, thank you for
I wasn't going to say anything.
No, I remember you, Becky, and I'm glad you were willing to bring up that subject. And that actually reminds me, if anyone listening has a subject that they'd like to hear discussed on Raw Talk, and if I think it's something that is, you know, timely and applicable and important, then certainly we'll take into consideration any suggestions you make, studio@m88.org. Thank you so much, Becky.
You're welcome. It's important to get that out there.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for your suggestion.
You're welcome.
We also have Corey on the line. Corey, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
I just wanted to make a comment. You know, there was the question of how could a loving God let people go to hell? And I think part of it, and what I've learned, is that God, a loving God wouldn't, you know, he has to give us a choice. Because he's loving. If he wasn't loving, he would just make us all robots and just, you know, that would be it. We would just have no decisions. But since he loves us, he gives us a choice to either follow him or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much would he send us to hell, it's kind of up to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard someone explain it that God never sends anyone to hell. People choose to go to hell when they either choose to follow Christ or not to follow Christ is when they choose to go to hell. And you're absolutely right. The choice is entirely up to us. Of course, then, you know, you bring up all these other questions. What about people who have never heard? So on and so forth. In fact, I was reading about this pastor who's talking about the fact that there is no hell. Hell is just something that you experience here on earth. It came about when he was watching TV, and he was seeing some of the suffering that was going on in Africa, and that was when he realized, oh, hell is what we go through here on earth, but Jesus' blood redeemed us all for all eternity. So after we're done suffering here, that's where we experience eternity. Now, Chip, let me ask you, what is so dangerous about that kind of thinking? Because, you know, when you look at our world, it's easy to say that, wow, we are experiencing more and more hell on earth, and Jesus did die to save the world. So, you know, on the surface, it sounds like what this guy is pointing out sounds very good, maybe even biblical, that God redeemed the world with his sacrifice, and so after this world passes, everybody's saved.
Well, all the more reason to believe the words of the Bible as you view the human condition, yo,
mm-hmm.
because it is a reflection of exactly what the Bible says would happen to man without God.
Mm.
And so as you look at the Sudan, you look at the Congo, and you look at what's happening with the conflicts at almost every corner of our world, it is a reflection of what happens when men are at odds with God, they become at odds with each other. So instead of thinking we have hell on earth, I'm led to the conclusion, the logical conclusion, things can get a lot worse. But let me address specifically the concept of inclusion theology. And again, it's understandable. I know one noted theologian who is sound in almost every other area of his teaching, but is an annihilationist, who believes that we'll be annihilated or snuffed out if we don't believe in Christ and will not suffer the torments of hell. And he was driven to that position by the loss of a loved one. And he simply could not countenance, he couldn't tolerate the idea of that person in the condition where the Bible clearly paints a person who's without Christ who goes into eternity. And so sometimes just human frailties in our faculties drive us to unbiblical positions, but we really have to avoid that and keep in view what hell is counterbalanced by, and that's the splendors of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look at the terrors of hell, and we always have to also keep in view the wonders of heaven.
Yeah, and I remember growing up as a kid, I was raised as a pastor. My dad was a pastor, so I heard, the splendor of heaven and certainly the terrors of hell. And I can remember some nights where, I woke up in a cold sweat because I'd be thinking about, wow, hell is such a nasty place. I would never in my life want to go there. But at the same time, I can remember some times trying to imagine what heaven would be like, and my heart would almost burst within me with yearning for how amazing that's going to be and how desirous I am to finally experience it firsthand. And I just couldn't wait for Jesus to return. And the two, heaven and hell, are certainly very extreme and beyond our ability to imagine or to grasp, but even when we begin to try, I think we can certainly be pulled a lot easier towards heaven than down towards hell.
That's true. And back to that question, and keep in mind that right now, for the child of God, you're as close to hell as you're ever going to be in this human state, in this sin-filled world. But on the other hand, for the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, this sunset you saw tonight in the Sandias is as close to heaven as they're ever going to be if they don't repent. And I can only, lean on the words of Jesus. He said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, those are powerful words, and it's very strong, and it's consistent with what Jesus said, the warnings of those who rejected God's gracious offer of the sacrifice. But I'd like to maybe, if we could, in these last few minutes, turn the corner. We've talked about hell as much as we can probably in an hour-long program, but let's talk about other implications of Christians who meddle with the things of darkness, with Christians who, at this time of year, maybe take part in seances, play with Ouija boards, dabble in astrology. The Bible says very clearly, don't meddle with these things. We see many, many instances in the Bible of very clear commandments of don't toy with things of Satan. We shouldn't be playing in the enemy's toolbox. And I'm afraid some Christians, particularly who are teenagers, are sometimes tempted to kind of toy with these things, think they have a grip on them, and this time of year particularly, it can be quite dangerous.
Yeah, and by the way, Corey, thank you so much for your thoughts and sparking continued conversation on this. We certainly appreciate you joining us tonight, Corey.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. That's something that we've covered a lot, actually, in the past year, Chip, so far as being very careful about what we choose to dabble in, from witchcraft to even horoscopes. I've touched on a lot of that in the past year because I know so much of that seems so innocuous. It seems, it's just all fun and games and so on and so forth. And the reality is, as Christians, we need to be very aware about the tools of the enemy and how he can use those to distract us from the truth of God's word. And hence the reason I've always been one who wants to make sure people understand just how serious a lot of that is so far as the fun and games. And not to go around and beat people over the head with a ruler, smack their knuckles and say, no, 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 but more to educate and say, all right, think this through, know why you believe what you believe, exercise your discernment. If you know God's word, if you know his scripture, if you know who God is, then you can make these wise choices for yourself. You don't need constantly some sort of policeman walking around behind you, smacking you on the head with a bat, although that might help some people, I don't know. But it's usually better to know why you believe what you believe for yourself.
No, that's true. And we have the illustration in the Old Testament. The children of Israel were consistently reverting back to the ways of the surrounding nations. They'd build the idols, they'd have the high places, they'd conduct the sacrifices. Even men of God were tempted to toy with evil practices that were exclusively prohibited for people who knew God. So we don't even want, there's a place for a little bit of legalism here where it's an absolutely no. It's not a place for grace. Well, we can play around with it, yo.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be absolutely amputated from our life.
You are correct. Chip Lesko, thank you so much for helping out in an evening where, I don't know, maybe someone didn't want me talking about hell tonight, and they thought that if they could distract my guest, then I wouldn't be brave enough to go forward with this topic alone. But I wasn't going to be stopped. I appreciate you stepping in and adding your wisdom and insight to tonight's conversation. Thank you so much.
Glad to do it, Joe. Have a good night.
You too, sir. It's Chip Lesko, general manager of M88, also one of the pastors at Calvary of Albuquerque, helping out with tonight's conversation. To wrap things up tonight, I wanted to real quick kind of cover some of the specific things that the Bible describes what hell is going to be like, to give you a picture of it, and then to balance that with, hey, you know what? Here's how you can avoid all of that. So here are just 9 quick things that the Bible is very clear that hell is like. Hell will be a place of unquenchable fire. It'll be a place of memory and remorse. It'll be a place of thirst. It'll be a place of misery and pain. It'll be a place of frustration and anger. It'll be a place of separation, specifically separation from God. It'll be a place of undiluted divine wrath. It was originally prepared for Satan and his hosts, and it will be a place created for all eternity. Now, all that may sound a little abstract, but try to picture this for just a moment. Try to picture a place where perhaps it's really, really dark. So dark that you can't even see your hand if you're to hold it up to your face. Have you ever been someplace like that where the darkness is so complete, even if your hand was almost in front of your nose, the only way you'd know that your hand is there is if it accidentally touched your nose. Imagine it being that dark, and then imagine, you ever had like a really bad sunburn, you know, where you can like feel the heat coming off of your skin, and no matter what kind of cloth touches your skin, it feels like sandpaper is rubbing over it. So imagine that, and then imagine hearing the sounds of people suffering, screams of pain, moans of agony, but you can't tell where they're coming from because, again, it's so dark you can't even see your own hand in front of your face. So you hear these sounds but have no clue from what direction they're coming. Perhaps you even bump up against people, but again, you can't even see them. And it's hot. You ever been someplace where it's really hot, like unbearably hot, that no matter what you do, you can't get cool again? Or you've ever been really thirsty, like you're doing a bike race, running a marathon, a thirst that can't be quenched. You feel like no matter how much water you get in you, it's never going to be enough. I mean, try to just picture all those things with your senses. Imagine that, and you're not even getting even a small taste of what the torture of hell is going to be like. Now, you hear that, and you think, man, you know, all you're doing is you're just trying to scare people. Well, I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to relate in a small way what hell would be like. Now, wouldn't you want to avoid that? You know, in Jonathan Edwards' sermon that I was referring to earlier on about sinners in the hands of an angry God, one of the things that he also said, quote, "Therefore, let everyone that is out of Christ now awake and fly from the wrath to come. The wrath of Almighty God is now undoubtedly hanging over a great part of this congregation. Let everyone fly out of Sodom. Hasten and escape for your lives. Look not behind you. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed." Which is actually good advice. Why would you ever even dare chance the possibility of going to hell when the Bible says very clearly that we can avoid it if we were to choose to do so? That was the whole reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now, you may be asking, well, how do I do that? You look in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ is the only way to escape the judgment and punishment that we will find in hell. And it's the only way to experience heaven. You look in Revelation, there's some beautiful descriptions of what heaven is going to be like. Earlier this week when I was doing the good news of the day, I was talking a little bit about how the Bible describes heaven, and it's absolutely gorgeous. You read things about rainbows and emeralds and rare gems and golden streets and an ocean that is clear as glass and crystal. It's absolutely, unbelievably the most beautiful thing you can ever possibly imagine. And that's laid out very specifically for us in the Word of God. And also Revelation talks about the fact that the best part is God's there. He's the temple. He's the source of light. We're in His presence. Every tear will be wiped away. So as you consider the reality of hell and the implications for your life, I think it should scare you a little bit. But more than that, the fact that God loved you so much that He was willing to send His one and only Son to be beaten and tortured, to die on the cross, to pay the price for your sins so that you can escape the torture and judgment of hell, that should bring to you a mind of just so much gratitude. How could God love me so much? He does. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to live forever with Him. But it's your choice. So I encourage you, as so many people have throughout the ages, choose life, not death. God has put the choice in front of you. He's done everything possible so that you can have life and have it eternal. You know, the words that describe eternal life and eternal punishment in the Bible, they're the same word. There's no difference there. You're going to live for all eternity, one place or the other. Choose wisely where that will be. And as we go through this month of October, where people seem to celebrate hell and all the fun that it represents, keep in mind that's really not going to be any fun at all. And you are going to definitely want to avoid it, no matter what the cost. But you know, the best part is, God paid the cost for you. All you got to do is accept it. Well, I hope tonight's conversation on hell helped you a little bit. Understand that it is a real place. The Bible's very clear on that. And there is a very real way for you to escape it and to enjoy bliss and love for all eternity in the presence of God. That's the other side of the coin that is far more appealing. Well, next week on Raw Talk, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit as we examine a unique missions field. We're going to take a look at what happens when people take their passion and love of Jesus Christ into the online gaming community, how they do that, what sort of impact it might have, and how that is a missions field that is just as ripe as any other missions field in the world, but kind of unique in the tools necessary to reach it. So we'll discuss that in detail next week. And then later this month, we're going to have special guest Steve Rousseau, who will join us as we take a closer look at this whole Halloween business and understand it a little bit better from a biblical point of view and understand what we as Christians should or should not do about this whole issue of Halloween. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Again, special thanks to Chip Lusko for helping out this evening as we talked about hell. And again, don't let hell be your destiny. You can change that destiny because Christ made a way for you. Accept that. If you got more questions about this, send us an email, studio@m88.org. That's studio@m88.org. Thanks also to all my callers. I love the fact that whenever I do a topic on Raw Talk that I'm worried about someone asking something weird, the Raw Talk callers are intelligent, well-thought-out individuals who certainly know what they believe and why they believe and want to know more. And I certainly appreciate about you about that, knowing that you call in because you like to know what you believe and why you believe it. Well, that's going to wrap things up for all my random ramblings here on Raw Talk. My name's Yo. You have a shway week in the Lord. We'll see you next week.